Good evening and welcome, dear ones. We begin our time in prayer in the name of God transcendent, God omnipresent, God immanent and indwelling, the Holy Living Trinity, in whom we live and move and have our being. Amen. So the Christ candle is lit this evening as a reminder, as always, that Christ is within all as essential being. And it's also lit this evening in loving commemoration and dedication of this evening to a longtime church member, work student, Journey School member, and beloved friend, Judith August, who died this past Sunday. And so we cherish her memory and her abiding presence among us this evening. So again, if we look back to our lineage and travel back to 100 years ago at this time in the summer of 1921, a tumultuous time, a time that was very tumultuous, just like our own, that Mr. Gurdjieff made the decision to establish the Institute for the Harmonious Development of Man in France. And it was to be a year later that he established the Priory in Fontainebleau, France. And the following year after that, in 1923, he wrote a prospectus for his prospective students who would join him at the Priory. And a copy of this prospectus is actually in the Harry Ransom Center here at the University of Texas in Austin. The prospectus really is an extraordinary document that lays out his purpose and intention for the Institute and all of its various requirements. And it includes an individual personal assessment medically and psychologically of every prospective student that was done by an assessor, presumably Maurice Nicol and his wife, Catherine, went through that same assessment process. And from that was developed from their range of offerings, a personalized plan for each person with the sole intent of balancing their three centers. So the prospectus, here are a few lines from it. The general program of work of the Institute includes the study of harmonic rhythm, the arts, crafts, and languages. Along with these, students study subjects in an exhaustive way of the universe in all of its relationships to man in light of current science and the ancient learning of the East. These studies involve the application of new and entirely original methods of conception and perception. They widen the horizon of human conception and at the same time help to set right the process of thought and consciousness. So this perspective and the founding of the Institute for the Harmonious Development of Man is the genesis of our own work today. Again, it's in service of becoming balanced man with a capital M, male and female. And that's why our work involves three centers. That's why it involves cosmology, science. It is not enough to know, however, about all of these things. It's not enough to just do various practices, actually. It all begins with the purification of the emotional center, which is the rightful bridge between our thoughts and our knowledge and our intellect and all of our actions and their practical application. And after that, we become what a human being has actually been designed to do and can move on from there to illumination, unity of being, and unity with being itself as Christ. So thank you, Mr. Gurdjieff, for dedicating your own life so that we may realize and enjoy the fruits of your being. May it be so for us that we bear fruit, not only for ourselves, but for the generations to come. So be it. So let us now prepare ourselves, prepare our beings to participate consciously under the canopy of the work, receiving the influences of our own highest level of emotional and intellectual centers, the influences that stream down to us from higher levels, from the conscious circle of humanity, from the communion of saints. And before we do that, I will just say a word about spiritual guidance, spiritual direction. Because it has been asked, what is spiritual direction? What is spiritual guidance? What is it? And how do I participate in it? So one meets one-on-one with a spiritual director or a person of spiritual guidance in order to discern the movements of the spirit, essentially, when there's a question in one's life, when one is navigating the workings of the unloading and dark night process, perhaps processing matters of forgiveness, exploring the awareness of unconscious motivation, assimilating the conceptual background of the work or the contemplative aspects of the teaching. All of these things and more can be included in times of spiritual direction. And there are going to be more details about this in the Friday email. If you receive it, it will talk about what it's like, how it can happen, how long is recommended, etc. All of those details will be forthcoming. And so now we do look at preparing ourselves consciously to enter into a place of inner stillness, a place of imminent trust and receptivity. To all the powerful influences emanating from the Holy Spirit, through higher levels of being, from higher worlds to ourselves and between ourselves. With mind and heart open, in directed attention, we breathe in deeply into every inmost part of our being, everything within us, everything that is hidden and unconscious, as well as conscious. Everything that is judgmental or shameful or harsh, unforgiving, and seemingly unforgivable that is wounded or resistant, apathetic, everything, all parts of being. We hold it as an offering, lift it, transubstantiate it in faith, hope, love, into our being as lovely, as radiant, as loved, infinitely the beloved of God, in light. And we do all this on behalf of everyone and everything. We breathe out this healing light into the world, all worlds. I am, I wish, I can work. And we will read a passage in the manner of Lectio Divina from today's email. It will be read three times with a silent pause in between each reading. Be careful how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Be filled with the Spirit, always giving thanks to God for everything, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Choose your final destiny, whether to be yourself or to be God. You can choose to be separate, or you can choose to be united. Live and act for yourself, or become one with the will which governs the whole world. Ultimately, the moment comes when you are to be able to see that either God must disappear for you, or you must disappear for God. Be careful how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Be filled with the Spirit, always giving thanks to God for everything, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Choose your final destiny, whether to be yourself or to be God. You could choose to be separate, or you can choose to be united. Live and act for yourself, or become one with the will which governs the whole world. Ultimately, the moment comes when you are to be able to see that either God must disappear for you, or you must disappear for God. Be careful how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Be filled with the Spirit, always giving thanks to God for everything, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Choose your final destiny, whether to be yourself or to be God. You can choose to be separate, or you can choose to be united. Live and act for yourself, or become one with the will which governs the whole world. Ultimately, the moment comes when you are to be able to see that either God must disappear for you, or you must disappear for God. Amen. So I invite you to share what you received from this reading, from the image, what came to your heart, and we would welcome your sharing and your willingness to do so by simply just raising your digital hand, and you will be called upon. Becky, please.
Hello, Marianne.
Hello, and welcome, Becky.
Thanks. First time I'm sharing, and very new to the group. I live in Richmond, Virginia, and just joined the group this year. So I've loved this conversation. So thanks for creating this format. It's wonderful. And I'm going back and rereading all of last year's. But the word chose just really jumped out at me today. It makes me think of being at cause in the matter of one's life. Sometimes it's so easy to be taken over by circumstances and people and pain. I'm experiencing a lot of pain in my mouth having some jaw issues. But just choosing it, allowing it. I think of the welcoming prayer.
Indeed.
Welcome it. And so just that word choose just really spoke to me out of that reading. So thank you.
And thank you, Becky. It's so good to have you with us. Welcome.
Thanks.
Yes.
Thanks.
Jan, please.
Hey, Marianne.
Good evening, Jan.
Good to see you.
Good to see you.
This, the reading was a first conscious shock for me. Mm-hmm. I've had this nagging in the back of my head that I am slipping away from what's the most important thing to me. Mm-hmm. And this reading, I read it this morning, but it didn't hit. But just reading it now, it really hit, and I remember Nichol saying, work as if your house is on fire. And just like Becky was saying, life gets in the way, you know, and it's a commitment to where do I want to put my attention? You know, this has been a really rough year for me. My sister died, and I can let everything get in the way, you know, and feel totally justified with it, you know. But hearing this is a wake up call to me to put my attention back where it feels better and feels directed. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Jan. And are you in Santa Fe still?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was in Austin last week, but I didn't get to go to church. I had something else. I was very disappointed.
Well, it's good to have you with us. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for your sharing. Mm-hmm. Jeannie, please.
I was struck by what I saw to be a visual pun. The words "be careful" and the gravity of the situation, the gravity pulling that drop into the abyss, or the wonder and truth of God. So that's kind of what struck me when I saw that image.
Yes, thank you, Jeannie. Thank you. We have time for a couple of more. Marcia, please.
Hi, Mary Ann.
Hello, Marcia.
For me, it was the visual element, as it often is. I had been taken by the whole reading this morning, but today, seeing that the clarity of that one drop of water that is about to merge with perhaps the conscious circle, I don't know, but that's how it struck me. And it was so incredibly clear and beautiful. And that was, for me, a total physical and visual and heart experience. So,
oh, wonderful. Thank you, Marcia. A three-centered experience, I guess. Yes, totally. Thank you. Tracy, please.
Was also struck by the visual of the water drop is about to disappear into the rest of the water. And I remember Deborah always frequently reading a book to the children about how thoughts and words can affect the crystals that form when water freezes.
Yes.
And so, do I want to choose to be the drop that has a positive or neutralizing effect on the rest of the water when I drop into it, or, you know, something else? Something. So that's what came to me.
Yes, a choice again. Thank you, Tracy. And thank you to each of you for your sharings. So we take these sharings into our hearts, and combined with them and with our own reflections and how we were moved by what we were given, and we take the next step. So thank you. Now it is my joy to introduce again Karen Betts, who is going to accompany us on our continuing journey through the nights and into Will. Karen, welcome.
Thank you. Did I get unmuted? Yes. So thank you all. Let's dive one more time, brothers and sisters in Christ, into our discussion on the nights. Let me share my screen. And there's a copy of our homework with that beautiful image. So what impressions came to meet you when you thought of the dark nights or observed your attitudes about them? And as Cynthia Bourgeau noted, no more wallowing or clinging, it's transforming all the way. Were you able to see somewhere you wallow or cling? And I hope you all had time to watch Father Thomas's videos. They were, you know, quite something. And it's always fun to see a young Thomas again. But I wonder, what did this week bring to you? What did you observe? Excuse me. Joe.
Can you hear me?
You're breaking up a little bit. Yes, sir, I can hear, but keep talking and maybe it'll get a little clearer.
How about now?
Oh, better. Yes, sir.
Okay. So this week, I feel like I'm being pushed to empty this self, right? You know, with a 38-year-old or 38-week pregnant wife and a 1 year, 9 month year old daughter that's weaning off of being breastfed has really been hard to stay centered in the moment. And, mm-hmm. and the work idea that has helped me is, if you truly understood, then mm-hmm. you would not disagree. It's helping me externally consider my pregnant wife by trying to understand into her pregnant body and realizing if I truly understood how it felt to carry a child for 9 months, would I disagree with the hormones and rash decisions? And I don't know how it feels to have internal organs shift around, back pain and shortness of breath, etc. And also the work idea, struggling with negative emotions, has shown me how to and where to dialogue with negative eyes that don't serve me at this moment. For example, anxiety, low vibration. I told anxiety, thank you for trying to help, but I'm
Oh, Joe, I think you froze. Last I heard was your low anxiety trying to help. Mark, should we just come back to Joe in a minute? Okay, Joe, I'm sorry. Please come back. That was a beautiful sharing. The strength of external consideration for someone going through a physical realm you have no idea about can be such a powerful tool, and what a gift to give. Well, who else? And Joe, do please come back and tell us more. But in the meantime, who else would like to share? Pam, please.
Hello.
Hey, sweetheart.
Well, I thought I'd report on, let's see, I think the homework piece that best represents where the work and I met and my life is just go about your life and allow your life to show you markers and where you are in relationship with God and others. And then look for the little twinkling stars, the micro signs of grace in the night. For me, what the night kind of looked like, did look like, is having a physical limitation that I don't usually have. Simultaneously, I had volunteered to take my grandchildren for a week, and I had a big plan about how that was going to look and how I was going to be the, you know, participating grandmother. And as it turned out, I was not able to do that, and there were many benefits to doing the work around that. But the, and you can imagine, because we all have those eyes, what those look like. But here's the grace that the twinkling stars that were in that. When I was able to release control over that situation and be present with the grandchildren as I was, as the situation was, I saw my husband get to step up as grandpa. And that it came to me, it was like time body work back in my marriage. This is not the same person that my children were from. How I had cut out my husband by doing everything and being a super controlling mom and always doing it better and bigger. That I had not seen the beauty of him flowering as a father. And indeed, I think their relationship certainly was impacted by that. And I got to watch my husband now step up as grandpa for the first time and really blossom. And they really got to have a solid relationship with him. And they just love him. And now they're texting him and writing him. And they've got all these, they're showing pictures of, you know, what they're doing. And so there was an opportunity there that was so beautiful that how could I regret, you know, what happened? So there's the no wallowing, you know, there's no time for that. There's all this that's happening on the other side. So that's just a piece of the report that I thought I'd share.
Well, thank you. It's a beautiful thing when we can give presence in the way that makes room for the other. You know, that actually sometimes our presence is given most by stepping back and letting the others, as you say, flourish and blossom. What a beautiful gift. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for sharing. Who else would like to report something? Rodney, please.
Hello, Karen. Hey. How you doing, friend?
Doing well, sir. And you?
Yeah. Well, first of all, I did not know about Judith. And just wanted to give condolences, but also to remember her. Her and I were in quite a few work groups together, and we actually had a lot of conflicts together. But the very last second line group that we were in, we really kind of came to a real understanding, even really, I would say, a love for each other and what we had given each other. So I really will miss Judith. But the part of the homework that really is the part you were talking about, where Cynthia Bourgeau basically asks, you know, What are you wallowing in? What are you clinging in? And Peter talked this Sunday about the mountain of the heart. And so the question came up, so what is actually keeping me from the mountain of the heart? And God, long ago I had read this Rodney Collins recounts Mr. Alspensky being on his deathbed, surrounded by his students, and you know, they asked him, "Well, what should we do?" And you know, he just said simply, "Enjoy yourselves." Okay, well, you know, at the time, it didn't really strike me as really anything. But it's like just recently, I've been asking myself, so where is my resistance to actually truly enjoying myself? And it struck me that I've had small periods or many little eyes, dark nights, small dark nights. I used to have periods of maybe weeks or so where I'd have these dark nights, but now it seems like they're much, much shorter. In which I find myself now arguing with reality. In particular, replacing reality with how I think it should be. Okay, it's like, well, if you know, if I ran the zoo, this is the way that it would be. You know, how come God didn't make it this way? You know, that whole misunderstanding. So I have to ask myself those Byron Katie questions. So is this true? Mm-hmm. Well, of course it's not true, because I'm not viewing reality objectively. I'm just imagining a reality that I wish it would be. And that causes some apprehension. So what are the consequences? Well, it keeps me from that idea that Peter brought out about being in the mountain, the mountain of the heart. And so what am I without this thought? So what am I without this thought is an ability to choose or to enjoy myself, or yeah, to know my true birthright. And I mean, it's been long, tedious years, and it seems so simple, but just choosing, understanding that I can choose my state, understanding that, you know, and I would have never thought that would have been true. And, you know, Nicole, we've talked about it many times, long, tedious years. And so my mantra has been enjoy yourself. And it seems like it works like a ferment in which I just find myself just doing that, truly enjoying myself. And it really took another thing that Alspensky said when he would, you know, people would be sharing with each other and they would be, you know, telling about their experience. And he'd always say, incomplete observation. So what I've been doing is just stepping back and back and back and seeing what is the last eye there. Mm-hmm. And so it is that eye that wants things to be different. The things are just not good enough.
Well, thank you.
So it just hit me that enjoying myself is the same thing as loving myself. And it just never really, I don't know, but for some reason those two things didn't hit. But when I think about enjoying myself, I just feel that love for myself, love for everything that's going on. And I hadn't really put it together, but my experience says that that's true. So anyway,
that's great.
You know, And also one last thing, I just think that Deborah Jean has given us such a true gift in her sharing. And there is an individual who's truly enjoying herself. You can tell.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to thank her. I don't know if she's out there tonight, but thank you, Deborah Jean. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Yes. And thank you, Judith. You know, she became much more joyful in those last years that I knew her too. And the enjoy yourself to me is again back to the idea of working with delight. Mm-hmm. You know, we all take the work as something heavy and hard, and we've got to do it. And some of that is true, yes. But honestly, it is a joy to find out that there's this freedom. We can choose. We can indeed go to the light and feel the love and give the love. And, you know, back in our days of drama, who knew?
Yeah, no kidding. And it seems so simple, but when you finally realize that state is place, mm-hmm. and that you can go to that place, it's completely freeing, and that we can choose that, and that we can go there, and that we can be that.
Because we know that state, we can't always stay there, but we know that state and we can go back.
Yeah, and you know, when my state is bad, if I just stay with it long enough, you know, I can get an objective view, you know, a three-centered observation, and then I can bring the mountain of the heart, mm-hmm. I can bring that to myself, you know.
Right.
Yeah, I can go there, but I can bring it as well by just being with that coarse energy that's you know, that may be there in any kind of negative state. If I just stay with it and can state it within my own body, eventually it's going to turn.
Thank you.
Well, thank you, Karen.
Oh, we have time for another. Oh, before I forget, Rodney raised a point I wanted to go back to about the nights. The nights can last days or weeks, years, or minutes. You know, so there's not a reason to resist and fear them. There's something we go through. They're a rest stop on our spiritual journey. We don't stay there, but sometimes we're there for a bit longer than we may feel comfortable. But there's nothing saying your night is, you know, going to be as long as my night. Your night could be simply minutes. So who else would like to feed our school? This is great food. I'm going to warn you, I've given permission to call on people. Catherine, please.
Well, since you said the dark nights can last minutes, I realize that a lot of my dark nights are when I have challenges in my small work. I notice that all of a sudden I want to quit. And that happened again today. And I realized, like, in what Rodney was saying, whenever there's challenges, why it's, I get really negative. And one thing that happened today was something that I looked over something. I did something wrong. And of course I saw all the justifying and everything. And, but it was just, you know, being fast and hasty and not paying attention, but it's like the identification that I have with A, doing something wrong, with B, a challenge that came with that. And, I just prayed afterwards. I just want to be free from all the identification around that and just be able to take on the challenge free from all the identification and dark night and just do it with enjoyment. Instead, there's all this drama that I put on myself and on the whole situation. And it's just interesting that every time I come up, whenever something comes up, that's a challenge. It's like, I always want to quit. I don't, but I always say I'm going to quit. I'm like, what is this? Why can't I just going to quit life whenever something comes up? But it's a recurring pattern. I just want things like Rodney was saying to just go along and not, I just want to have a chill day, not have anything disrupted and do everything perfect.
Simple request. Yeah, absolutely. Don't we all? And the good news is we're all human. We all have these days. And it's the back to the old children's story of the going on a bear hunt. It's your swamp to go through, but you have the work to help you through it. We now have, you know, in the work, they call them duck boards. We have a way to go crawl over our swamp. We don't necessarily sink as deep into the drama. You know, here you are laughing about it, talking about how you made a mistake, you know, and I can only remember for myself that years ago in work, before I'd retired and everything, if I'd found myself in that position, oh my God, the world's going to end. They're going to fire me and, you know, yada, yada, yada. And here we have the joy of working to see that it's just the human condition. It's just an eye that says, oh my God, I'm going to get fired, or oh my God, I'm going to quit. It's just the song they sing. It's not us. It's not I. And you did a great job of the non-identifying, and then gone to the self-remember. You know, it's all okay. And it's going to be another day with another drama, and you're going to be okay. Thank you for sharing. Thank you. Pam.
Hi, my friend.
Oh, dear.
So I looked at what Cynthia talked about with clinging and wallowing, and saw that my introverted personality really clings to silence and solitude a lot. And then she wallows in loneliness, connected with people. And she's done that since she moved to Alpine 14 years ago, believe that.
14.
Oh. Yeah, and the whole time we've been in Colorado for 2.5 months. And so I've been able to observe this kind of coming and going of some depression about being disconnected from people, but also this like, when my husband and his friend go off and do their thing and everything's quiet and I can just be with the dogs and do my sits. And then seeing you and Rodney tonight, I realized that I'm clinging to all of you at CC that have meant so much to me over the years and still do. And that, there are other friends in Austin that I still cling to. And so perhaps she's not allowed others in as much as she could have. Although I have had and now have a wonderful work partner in Alpine. And I'm so grateful for that because of CCH. So I'm still working with state and place and trying to discover what does that mean for me, and really wanting to let go of the wallowing at least, and just knowing that it's there in the work. It always has been. And that as I continue to work with my work partner every day, it will become more and more clear. And I'm so grateful for all of you.
You are such a treasure. And I,
my first work partner.
I know. And I've thought of you often out there, and to me, Alpine is way out there.
It is.
but as, if you will, a flower, you're a seed. You're a CCH seed. Yeah. That got carried way far west and planted in a new place. And like all the work stuff, and Rodney talked about it being a ferment growing in us, somebody worded this far more poetically than I can, but when we sometimes feel like we've been buried, actually we've been planted.
Ooh, thank you.
and that's how I think of you, is as a seed out there taking all of these wonderful teachings and practices and things that we've spent so many years learning. And now you're spreading it. You know, God bless Alpine. You're there. We miss you. Absolutely. Love you dearly, even though I'm a lousy friend and don't write worth beans.
No. But we're love good.
You. Love you. Love you. All right. And love you. Yeah. Bye. Thank you. Thank you. Well, we could do one more brief person if we'd like. Someone has something to share with the group. Jill, please.
Well, part of the homework, I believe, was to go on a retreat. And that's where I've been. And I just read the homework last night. And with Pam sharing, I was thinking of you as a twinkling star out west. And I love that about going to Big Bend and out west is how bright the stars are. And there's something about going on retreat where you fall in love. And this retreat was with a lot of new people. It wasn't necessarily our usual CCH community. And it was so deep and it was so real and so beautiful. And when we left, I saw all these twinkling stars that are going back to Dallas and Sunnyvale and all these different places. And so I just was connecting with that idea that the lights are sparkling everywhere and in amidst the darkness, and our world needs them so much and needs for us to remember our light. And so anyway, just feeling gratitude and great enjoy. And my aim on the retreat, I got there Thursday night and I walked the circle with the Psalm 100, and every little sign I would come to, it was like, oh my God, that's my aim. Come into the gates. I'm in the gates, singing in joy. And then it ended up being serve the Lord, love and serve the Lord in gladness. And I was serving on the retreat, and it landed. There was no difference in serving than there would have been in being just a retreatant. And that was my initial thing. I was going to be a retreatant, and then I was called into service. And so it was just a wonderful time of joy and delight, and so grateful for all the new stars out there that I've connected with. So, thank you.
Absolutely. And all the new stars that are a part of our journey school. You know, I'm just always so impressed, amazed, whatever the right word is there, that we reach so many people through this technology. As much as I don't like technology and I do have a challenge, I am so grateful that we have so many people. It's wonderful. So yeah, thank you. Well, great. And thank you all for sharing. And I didn't even have to call on anybody. All right, let me get my slides up. And let's see if I can make my buttons work. All right, so tonight we are going from the Dark Nights. But as we ended last week, we were already moving toward tonight's topic on will. And to talk about will, we must include attention and consciousness. So this was in the email, and I just want to review it with you for a minute. In the work, we talk a lot about wanting to develop and grow our will, but we need to see where attention and consciousness and will live in us. So in our three-storied house, in the moving and instinctive center is where we find our attention. And in the emotional center is where we find our will. And in the intellectual center is where we find consciousness. And so we're going to talk a little bit about each one tonight. But before we dive in, I want to take a minute to say I really wish tonight for myself to be very clear with what I mean. As we saw last week, words have associations for us. And this, you may remember the discussion on the word bliss. You know, so a word may mean something to one person and entirely different to another. And so bliss, you know, could mean extreme happiness or rainbows or whatever. And to me, what I was trying to convey was the deep peace and the lack of inner or outer conflict. So tonight, I really do wish to be very clear as we talk about attention and will and consciousness. And as we take a break every once in a while, please feel free to ask me questions if I've not been. So what's the relationship here? It's that we must develop our attention to grow our will, which then enables us to increase our consciousness. So we start with our first step, which is to focus our attention. We use the effort of attention to get into the higher parts of centers. We work to develop our skill of true, scathingly honest self-observation. And that takes focused attention. Now the work talks about three kinds of attention. There's zero attention, and that's when we're totally mechanical, like when we're brushing our teeth. I mean, who thinks about brushing their teeth? We just do it. The second is attracted attention. Now, that doesn't really require our effort because we're interested in the subject, but it can put us in the emotional parts of our centers. And the third is directed attention. That's when we're working. That is what's directed by our effort and our will. Now, as we are, we have a limited capacity of attention. Remember back, I think it was in February, we talked about man one, two, or three. We can only focus on just the body or the head or the feeling. But as we awaken from our state of sleep, we mobilize our attention. We begin to remember ourselves. And then we begin to focus on what do we need to become man number four in order to use our centers rightly. We understand we must make effort. We must put the work on. And part of that also means we must pay attention to see if we're actually working when we think we are. You know, CCH, we use the work and centering prayer to develop our attention. Centering prayer has been called total attention. I love that. When we're deep, deep in our prayer, we are totally attentive and totally passive. It's a beautiful thought. So on to will. Last week, I read a quote from Dr. Nickel that the object of all real esotericism is to connect man with the will of God and to break us from our own self-will. Now we're talking about real will, capital W will. And it's a positive thing that finds meaning. And it's incredibly patient. But what's missing for most of us is knowing what do we want. And that undermines our will to work. Because without knowing what we want, we won't make the effort. We really must not forget why we work. What do we wish? Now, Madame de Salzman tells us we wish to be. Well, we wish for the happiness of being entirely ourselves, fully human. That's a powerful wish. Now, often I think we confuse to think and to will. Will is from the emotional center and thinking from the intellectual center. And these two faculties do not usually work together. That takes effort. I mean, how many of us think we should lose weight? But if we don't will it, we won't do it. Now, Mimi, I'm gonna put you on call because you told a delightful story years ago about circling a display of cookies. And I hope you feel comfortable to share that because you will tell it much better than I. So to keep our aim, we must have will. We apply all the knowledge we gain by reading, by working with our work partners, by in our groups, by our own self-observation to our being. And that increases our will. Will finds right solutions. It contains the idea of new possibilities. It is actively patient. Isn't that a fun thing to think of? And will is above and beyond all delight. It is not deprivation. We do not will against anything. Will is without violence. Will unite things in the right order. It's an act of synthesis, not an analysis. And so it allows that higher force, that transforming force to enter us. And that's how we begin to grow our consciousness. So on to consciousness. We're working to be present. And several of you reported about that. We're working to be here now. And consciousness helps us to have a perception of ourselves. Who are you? Where are you? And what do you know? And what don't you know? Very powerful questions. A conscious person is always watchful, always remembers themselves. Now, to quote Sister Ilya, in the beginning was consciousness. But consciousness is not created by our brain. The brain makes neuron clusters as it learns. It's continually processing electrical and chemical signals so we can function. The brain is created by consciousness. Quantum physics tells us that every physical thing we experience was once a wave of energy, and that that wave collapsed into physical reality by consciousness. Consciousness came first. So in the beginning was consciousness. So the work tells us there are four states of consciousness. And indeed, consciousness is a state. So the first is our physical sleep, generally at night when we curl up on our beds. Second is our usual waking state called waking sleep. And then in these two states, we are totally mechanical. The third state is self-remembering, also called self-awareness, self-consciousness. We are waking up. And the fourth state is objective consciousness. And that's when we can see things as they really are. Now, I believe we touch all four states. but we're working in this plane of existence to live as much as we can all the time in that third state. When we become more conscious is when we can know we're made in the image of God and then serve that divine being within. Now, conscious is not memory or thought or feeling, but through consciousness, we see and know. Through consciousness, we become aware of our thoughts, our feelings, our sensations. We're given a little consciousness to start with. Thank God. And this can be increased, but only by effort, by conscious labor and intentional suffering. That kind of sounds awful again. And I would encourage you to look at your association with those words. For me, yes, they landed a little hard to begin with, but they've become something more to me. They are now rungs in my ladder to my freedom. We're just being asked to wake up, to go against our mechanicalness. Because going against mechanicalness will increase our consciousness. And we have to begin with the small amount of consciousness we have. As we become more conscious, we let in more light into the darkness within. So let me take a pause in all the talking and ask if there are any questions or comments you'd like to add. This would be a great time, Mimi, for you to tell your story. Well, I'm very impressed if I was that clear, and I appreciate the I'll take that as a compliment. Thank you. So let's go on then. So we speak of higher energies, higher hydrogens. And to me, they're all the energy of love in all the gradations. So we can use all that to focus our awareness through our attention to our will, and our consciousness can grow to truth with a capital T, truth. The work teaches us that truth leads to good, which leads to a higher truth, which leads to a higher good, and so on. To me, it makes, if you will, the virtual stairway to heaven. And okay, apologies to Led Zeppelin. But how do we get on the stairway? Well, it's the same old story, always. It's self-observation, not identification, and self-remembering. This is the work that helps to really grow that flame of our faith, that begins to help us to recognize we're lived by something well beyond the perception of our senses. Now, this is, to me, a rewording of the scale of consciousness that's given to us by Dr. Hawkins, and this is not my thought alone. This is many people in the work have given me these words, but I think it's beautiful. So faith is the mother of patience. We're told that if we have faith the size of a mustard seed, we can move mountains. Well, maybe we don't have enough faith, but we do have enough to attend to our practice through our nights, through all the obstacles of life. And all of that helps our patience to flourish. I feel like faith really activates our magnetic center. And our patience grows to become the mother of will. Like Rodney said, we must work for long, tedious years. Last week, I reminded us stone on the walk that says, fall down 7, get up 8. It's our patience and our persistence that will take us to the will that is above life and all its desires, and all its events. It's what allows us to encounter those obstacles, those times we want to quit and continue to work. So will becomes the mother of understanding. Now the work defines understanding as knowledge applied to being. But understanding allows us to self-remember. If all of mankind was conscious, we would all understand life in all of its aspects in the same way. And we would understand each other. We then can realize we are one in the body of Christ. Understanding grows our external consideration. So understanding becomes the mother of love, because with understanding, then we can love. And love is what leads us to truth. And truth is what leads us to good. So while we desire to increase our attention, our will, our consciousness, we must have valuation of the work and know our reasons for why we are seeking the work, the journey school. Why did you come here? So I had a couple reasons. My first, long ago, was I was invited by a dear friend. I was going through a very difficult life experience with a boss having terrible conflict, and my friend knew the boss. So I asked for advice. And I was given some work ideas reworded because I was not a work person. Can you imagine if you told somebody you have the right not to be negative? They'd probably think you're crazy. So this friend reworked them a little so that I could hear them and apply them. And I did. And it was the most incredible exercise in freedom I've ever had. I wanted more. So my friend invited me to come to Thursday nights. And the second reason I came and stayed was the work opened the scriptures for me in a way I've never encountered in all of my years of study. And so here I am. I would love to hear why some of you are here. Why are you in the journey school? Why are you in the work? And again, if you don't raise your hands, I have been empowered to call on people. Well, let me get up our list of participants that are here tonight. Billy, why are you here?
How did I know you were going to call on me?
Well, no, it's that alphabet thing.
Yeah, I'm going to have to change my name to Willie or something. Go to the bottom.
Thank you, Billy, for being willing.
So, why am I here? Why am I here? Well, I first did it just because I thought I should. I thought it was the right thing to do. And I was never part of the 10th men's school. And I felt sort of excluded because I was not in that. And I thought, I don't want to do that again. You know, I don't want to be on the outside looking in. Mm-hmm. So that was my initial motivation. But there's a reason that I stay. And the reason mm-hmm. that I stay is because of what I learn, not just about myself, but really about everybody, about humanity, if you hear the squeaking going on, it's my dog chewing on her toys. So, and just be thankful that's what we're hearing.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So I love so much every week hearing what people have to say, because there's not a week that goes by that I don't go, oh yes, that's me. And it's so comforting and empowering and delightful, utterly delightful. It puts the humor back into something that I could probably turn into, I got to do the, you know, real drudgery. And so I, you know, hearing what people say every week probably gives me more information and knowledge and understanding than anything else. And so I just think, between the journey groups and the journey school, it's a must have for me.
Amen. Amen. And yes, the sharings feed all of us. They're just wonderful. Everyone has something to say.
Mm-hmm. And everybody is right. You know, if you have to describe right or wrong, everybody is right. Whatever your own personal experience or take from it is right for you, whatever that is,
exactly.
And it's so safe to feel that and to have that and to be that and to express that. I mean, I can't think of another place in my life ever really that has been like this, so I'm very grateful.
Yeah, you're right. I don't think there is another. This is a very special place. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Frank. As we say goodbye to Billy's dog.
Interesting what brought me here to begin with. One of my sisters was married by Tim Cook. Huh. And about the same time, my middle daughter was getting to the age that I thought she had a right to be exposed to the idea of religion, of spirituality in an organized mm-hmm. way. Mm-hmm. And so I had been looking to where I could do that and picked Unity Church and Tim and Barbara. And as I came to know Tim and Barbara more and more, I found them to be my spiritual mentors. I had always known that I could use a guide, and I found them as being guides, and then they led me to the work and the rest of you and everything else. But a long way from trying to figure out a place to take my daughter to expose her. It got me.
You know, and once you're got, you're got. And we're glad you're here, Frank. Thank you for bringing all of your gifts to all of us. Well, I have just a little bit more to say. Oh, no. Hi, Marky.
Sorry about that.
No.
Hi.
Hi.
So this is my first time to talk, and I am not on my laptop like I usually am, so it's a small picture. But anyway, I came into the work not really knowing what the work was. And now that I've, you know, been reading about it and doing the journey school, it's the most real thing I've ever known. Mm-hmm. And I love that it aligns with Christianity in the way that, you know, finding God is about letting go of yourself. And mm-hmm. I like how those two, you know, sort of parallel. And mm-hmm. so I'm just glad to be here.
Well, we're glad to have you. And thank you so much for speaking up tonight. It's great to have you.
Thank waiting you. For that moment.
There you go. It was perfect.
Okay.
Oh, all right. Well, just a couple more minutes and then we'll get to the homework. So we've spoken a little bit tonight about the work octave, and there are several talks to review if you want to look at it a little more. It was also in the email. You know, we all need to sound our own DOH. But keep in mind, the work tells us we have 987 eyes, and all of them have individual agendas, and they're all seeking to attack or at least quieten this opening note of our work. So we need to renew it day by day. And that's what we're doing when we set daily aims, which focus our attention and our will. And remember, it's not a question of how much do you know, or how clever you are, or how good you are. It all depends on our attentions and intentions, and our will and our consciousness. Remember, the kingdom of heaven is within us, and it always wills what God wills. We just need to learn how to listen to our inner divine being. So I'd like to close with a quote. Oh, I've got a slide, but don't worry about it. Okay. from Bishop Fenelon. God has endowed us with free will in order that we may have something real to offer to God. We have nothing to call our own except our will. Sickness takes away health and life. Riches melt away. Mental powers depend on a person's bodily strength. The one and only thing really ours is our will. As we let go of all of our small wills and empty ourselves of attachments, we begin to align our will with God's will. So let me go to the homework. And then if we have another minute or two, any questions or comments? Oh, there's the work octave. These will all be posted as soon as I can get them to Lisa. So any of the slides you want to review. And there's a copy of the quote from Bishop Fenelon. So the homework this week is read the email message and click on the link several times through the coming week. There's great power in reading out loud. It's a great exercise to do between work partners. Read this message to your work partner. Reflect back upon your reasons for joining the Journey School. Ask yourself, where am I in relation to my original intention, my daily centering prayer practice, my wish for transformation into Christ? And if you're one that had made an oblate vow, where are you in your commitments? The work teaches that each struggle with yes and no is necessary and a worthy part of our transformational process. Thus, any perceived failure is not a cause for recrimination or self-justifying. It's only for awareness and self-observation. So observe your struggle with yes and no. And observe through the week the movements of your attention, your consciousness, and your will, and the relationship between the three. So I think there's no time for more comments, and I apologize to anyone who wished to, and thank you all for who did share. That was great, rich, rich banquet. And I'll turn it back over to Mary Ann.
Indeed, thank you, Karen. It was a rich banquet from everyone. A closing word from Rodney Collin, our friend. Our work is in time. We can choose whether to take it slowly or to hurry. This is not a work for a few months. It is forever. Once we really enter the work, we cannot go back. For that reason, it is never right to urge people too much at the beginning. Yet we all have a role to play. There is nothing really frightening but this, to let our chances go, our real time. Time is opportunity. We are given so much time, just so many years. And in that time, we can do something, make something. If we do not use this time, there is no other. Everyone has a Kairos time when great things are possible for him or her. But only one does not know where it is, when it is. If only people would understand about Kairos time, it would make them alert always, because they never know when it is coming. And we close in prayer. Wherever we are, praying aloud and affirming the prayer of God's love. God's love has always met and will always meet all my needs. I give freely and receive joyfully. And how blessed I am to simply remember God. Protect us, Lord, as we stay awake, and watch over us as we sleep, that awake we may keep watch with Christ, and to sleep, rest in Christ's peace. Amen.